One thing I've learned after all these years, you're gonna save yourself a whole lot of tears. Don't try to figure out who was wrong and who was right. Got to move along, baby. Go with the flow. Roll with the punches. Yeah, that's one thing I know. No use staring at you.
Hi, everybody. Your old friend Mike Houlihan. Yeah, you gotta roll with the punches. Hey, we're going with the best of show this week because we are all off over at the Chicagoland Sports Hall of Fame tonight. And we are kind of winging it, but I know you guys are still listening, so listen up. Our old pal, James Duke Alamo Lynch, is sick. That's the best way to put it. Got some bad news from the doctor, and we're all going to pray for him that he gets a good prognosis. He's quite the character. I know he has many fans in our audience. So in honor of Alamo and the prayers for him, we're going to play the first interview he ever did on our show, which is from August of 2019. We were over back at Lizzie McNeil's in those days. And it's quite an eye-opener. That's why we had him back several times. So give a listen to our first interview with the one and only James Duke Alamo Lynch, 39 years, Chicago Police Department, Vietnam veteran, Bronze Star recipient, and great American and great Irishman, Alamo Lynch. Here he is.
What a show we got tonight. I want to remind everybody that the focus of this show is Irish first responders. Why? Because we like them, but also because they epitomize for me the throwback of the mythological Irish warriors from Irish mythology who risk their lives every day for us on the street and in our city of Chicago, the Irish cops, firefighters, and paramedics. And so we salute them, and they all have great stories on top of that. Now tonight we have a legendary old pal of mine, James the Duke Lynch, also known as Alamo. Alamo, welcome to the show, pal.
Well, it's nice to be here.
Okay, you know what? He is a very proud United States Marine Corps Vietnam vet. He is a 39-year veteran of the Chicago Police Department, 15 years on the mayor as a mayoral bodyguard. And he's also a devotee of the great, the Duke, John Wayne. All of that we're going to talk about tonight. But let's start with where you grew up.
Well, I grew up in South Shore.
Right.
71st in Merrill.
Okay.
Went to St. Philip Neri Grammar
right,
School.
Sure.
My parents moved when I was in eighth grade out to LaGrange Park.
Right.
So I wanted to finish eighth grade at St. Philip Neri.
Yeah.
So I stayed with my grandmother who lived at 56 in Sealy.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah.
And I used to take the bus every day.
Wow.
You could take the bus then.
In those days. Yeah.
Yeah,
like getting
okay.
Murdered. Yeah.
64. Yeah. And it worked out okay. I was a little disappointed because all my friends went to Carmel, Mount Carmel.
That's where I went. Yeah.
And I ended up going from a Catholic grammar school to a public high school. And
well, you went to a nice public high school.
Well, it was nice.
Lyons Township.
Yeah, yeah. Lyons Township.
Yeah.
Great football team.
Yeah.
And I was on the swimming team there. And
now, was it fifth grade you had to repeat?
Fifth grade, yeah.
Because John Wayne's movie, The Alamo.
1960.
Okay.
My dad took me to see The Alamo at the Palace Theater downtown.
Yeah, oh, downtown.
For my birthday.
Okay. When's your birthday?
October 18th.
Okay.
Same as Mike Ditka's, by the way.
Ah.
And Lee Harvey Oswald.
Okay.
Another Marine.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
We don't talk about him, though. But Mike Ditka, the coach.
Okay.
So
he brought you down to see the Alamo. You were a kid.
That was a big deal. I mean, it was like $5.50 to get in.
Yeah.
So my dad, he didn't know it was reserved seats.
Reserved seats.
Reserved seats. And We got down there and...
you and your dad?
Just me and my dad, the greatest guy in the world.
God bless him.
And my dad found out it was 550. He said, let's go tomorrow's and just get some peanuts. And I said, Dad, you promised me, it's 10 years old, my birthday.
Yeah.
Okay. So I was a John Wayne fan before that.
Yeah.
But when I saw the Alamo, we walked out and I said, Dad, next to him, you're the greatest. I mean, next to
you.
Next to you, he's the greatest.
Yeah.
I mixed that up. But but it was great. And there was a dollar souvenir book.
Oh, yeah.
And my dad had already spent $11. We didn't even get any popcorn or anything. We just sat there for 3.5 hours long.
Is that how long it is?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Is that a John Ford movie? Who directed
it? No, that was a John Ford. Duke directed that.
Oh, did he really?
Produced and directed it.
Wow.
Built the sets. And
wow.
It was, he put his heart and soul into that one.
Yeah.
That's why it's my favorite.
Sure.
Because...
And then you just started sneaking off and going to it.
Well, it came to the Jeffrey Theater.
Oh, yeah.
God bless the Jeffrey
Theater.
In the
neighborhood.
In the neighborhood. Instead of going to school, I would go to the Jeffrey Theater. And, those were the days when your parents, I don't think they knew where I was half the time anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
So I would sit through it twice.
Wow.
And after the third
day... You were getting an education.
And I learned the dialogue. I got the dialogue down. Yeah. I won fourth place in the state of Illinois in doing the speech from the Alamo.
Oh,
did you
really?
Flocka speech.
Yeah.
And Amy Madigan was in the speech contest with
me. Oh, yeah.
And, it was great. It was great. So I was Alamo. And then when I went out to LaGrange Park...
Yeah.
They called me Duke, so I kind of lost the Alamo.
Oh, okay.
But everybody from South Shore
still calls you Alamo.
Still calls me Alamo.
Yeah. All right, so then you went to high school.
I went to high school.
And then did you go in the Marines right after
I signed up on the 120-day plan for the Marine Corps.
What's that?
Well, you sign up, and then after you graduate, you go into the Marine Corps.
Oh.
Not a good year, 68,
no
to
kidding.
Go in.
I know.
But we had a class of 1,200. Three of us went in the military.
Yeah.
One guy went to Annapolis.
There were 1,200 kids in the class at LT. Wow, that's huge. Yeah.
That was, I know my dad said, luckily our last name was Lynch.
Yeah.
So we didn't have to stay for the whole thing.
The whole graduation.
We were kind of in the middle, so he just walked. But I remember Al Zabchek was the last guy to get his diploma.
That
was like 4 hours after the. I said, oh my. There was only like four people in the auditorium.
Oh, man, everybody else left. Yeah. And now Al's object.
Al's object. I wonder what happened to Al.
Step forward.
But three of us went in. One went to Annapolis, one went to West Point, and I went to Marine Corps.
Wow.
Both my parents were in the Navy in World War II.
Oh, were they?
My mom was a pharmacist mate in Dublin, Georgia.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah.
No, that's why I remember going on south for the reenactments all the time.
Oh, do you?
And I drove through Dublin, Georgia, and I said, this is where my mom
There's
was.
There's a Dublin, Ohio
There's
as well.
There's a Dublin, Ohio,
a big
too.
Big Irish festival
Yeah. So being Irish.
And how long were you in the Marines? 2 years?
Three years. Yeah. Oh, I would have been in only two, but I got wounded.
Oh, I think you told me
about
that.
So they kept me a little longer.
What happened? You stepped on a mine or
something? Yeah, the point man tripped a booby trap. Him and the guy behind him got killed.
Wow.
I was the radio man. I was the fourth man back.
Wow.
My squad leader, Eddie Avery, God bless him, he got killed a week later.
No kidding.
Pushed me in the rice paddy. All I lost.
Did he really?
Yeah. And I lost my knee and part of my hearing.
Yeah.
When the blast went off. And... They were going to medevac me, and then the helicopter that I was in, they threw me in a helicopter.
Yeah.
Went up, and it started to get fire.
Oh,
so it went like this.
Holy cow.
And I fell out.
You got dumped out?
Yeah, I fell. There was nothing to hold on to.
Yeah.
So I fell out. Luckily, I only fell about 20 feet.
Oh, that's all.
But I landed in the rice paddy and broke my other leg.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, I mean, I got no legs.
Holy cow.
And I got all this stuff on. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, luckily they came back and got me. I wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
So I'm in Hawaii in the hospital.
Oh, yeah.
They took me on the Arizona.
Oh, really?
Gave me a tour.
Yeah.
I got my own tour of the Arizona. And my dad got there on Christmas after December 7th. And I remember him telling me that every time they would go down to get the bodies in the Arizona, something would blow up.
Oh, yeah.
So they were losing more divers, and they decided to just leave everybody there. And it was pretty cool.
So your dad was at Pearl Harbor?
He got there on Christmas.
Oh, wow.
Three weeks after.
Yeah, yeah.
And my mom enlisted on the 10th, and my dad enlisted on the 10th,
wow,
too.
Yeah.
My dad was at Purdue.
Okay.
And after Pearl Harbor, that was the greatest generation.
Yes, it was.
Of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
So how long was the recovery?
Well, I was in the hospital for about 2 months, and I'd only been there a month when I got wounded.
Yeah.
So I had 12 months to go.
Are you kidding?
I thought the Marines were going to send me home because I couldn't walk.
Yeah.
So I'm at the pool, yeah, in Honolulu, right?
Enjoying yourself.
Yeah, having a tab.
Yeah.
You remember tab?
Yes.
I don't think they make it anymore. But I'm just about to go to therapy, and this guy comes up and he says, "Duke, get your stuff."
Yeah.
So I think I'm going home, right?
Yeah.
So I go out. They drive me out to the airport, and all these guys are getting on the airplane. They got M16s, and I said, "Well, time out. That's not my plane." So I had 12 months to go. Yeah.
And they made you go
back.
And
they made me go back. Well, my dad told me, don't go. I was the only son, too, so
yeah,
I didn't even have to go.
Yeah.
So my dad always told me, don't go in the Marines.
Yeah.
And 68 was not a good year to go
in
the Marines.
No kidding. The height.
Yeah. And Sister Rosina saved my life at St. Philip Neri.
Oh, did she?
Because if I hadn't had to do fifth grade over,
yeah,
my outfit was at Quezon.
Oh, no kidding.
In 68.
Yeah.
So I would have been at Quezon. Chances are I would have got chopped up. But Sister Rosina saved my life.
So you had to go back. You spent another 12 months in
12 months.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Because they didn't count the 2 months I was in the hospital.
Jeez.
Yeah. Huh. And I couldn't walk.
Yeah.
The Marines kept me in the rear. Of course, there was no rear there.
Yeah.
We got rockets
coming
all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, we landed at 2 in the morning, and they opened the door. We were on United Airlines. They opened the door, Da Nang, and the first thing that hit me was the heat.
Oh, yeah.
You get off an air-conditioned airplane, and the first thing that hit me was the heat.
Yeah.
And it was 2 in the morning. I said, what happens when the sun comes up here?
Oh, yeah.
And then it started to rain.
Oh, wow.
And two guys got killed. We got rockets.
Right as you were getting off the plane?
Right as we were getting off. Two guys got killed.
Holy cow.
I went all through training with them.
Oh, wow.
And they got killed. Yeah. I didn't know where to go.
Yeah.
I had my sea bag and my rifle. And,
yeah.
You know. So welcome to Vietnam.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got 13 months here.
All right. So then you got out. Did you go right into the cops then?
Yeah. My dad sent me.
Was your dad a cop?
My dad was a cop. State's attorney cop.
Oh, no kidding.
He was in the Panther Raid.
Oh, was he really?
Yeah.
Fred Hubbard and all that
stuff? Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Gloves Davis.
Yeah.
They were all character references for me when I came on.
Oh, wow.
Gloves Davis.
Eddie Hanrahan.
The lefty. Yeah. Oh, Crazy Eddie.
Yeah.
He was terrific to me.
He just died recently.
He just died. Yeah.
Yeah. What a guy.
Yeah, he was great. My dad said he was Crazy Eddie. But, my dad was.
He was a Fenwick guy, wasn't he?
Yeah. And Southside Irish, I think.
Yeah.
Crazy Eddie.
Okay.
But I was, when I came on, well, here's what happened.
Yeah.
I was pretty badly. I lost my hearing and my legs were gone.
Yeah.
So my dad sent me the application and I got home and I said, Dad, I'll never make it. You know,
right.
How am I going to pass the physical? Well, in those days they had the Irish Mafia.
Sure, you got clout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a big deal.
You got a Chinaman.
Yeah, and the king was the mayor then.
That's
so,
right. Yeah.
Yeah, I love the king.
The mayor.
And
Richard J.
So I go down to take the physical. And I said, Dad, isn't there a test? Don't you have to take a test? He said, I think he took it for me. So maybe he thought I couldn't pass it, I don't know. But so I go down and take the physical. And my dad says, no matter what they tell you, don't worry about it.
Okay.
So I go down there. There's 5,000 guys in line standing there with our underwear on.
Yeah.
And the guy says, the eye test was first.
Yeah.
And the guy says, take your glasses off. Read the fourth line. Get dressed.
Oh.
And that's as far as I got.
Yeah.
They never even got to my knee or my hearing. So I'm walking out 720 West O'Brien Street.
Okay.
The Academy. Police Academy. And this little Irish guy, he looked like Barry Fitzgerald, come up to me and he says, smoking a pipe, and he says, are you Frank Lynch's son? And I said, yes, sir. He said, come back tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. Tell your dad everything's okay.
Oh, wow.
So there was a bar there. So me and Barry,
across
I called
street.
Him Barry, so he went to the bar. Called him up. My dad said, don't get drunk tonight. Go down there at 9 o'clock. So I go down there. There's nobody there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I mean, you know, that's not a very good neighborhood either.
Yeah, so it's just you.
So I knock on the door, and this guy opens the door, and there's no lights or nothing. It's dark. I walk down the hall, and there's Barry.
Yeah.
He said, sign this. 20 years old.
Yeah.
I said, okay. He said, you'll be getting your notice pretty soon.
He was had a brogue and everything.
Yeah, he had the brogue and everything. Yeah. So he said, okay. So let's see. That was.
And now, how old were you at this
20.
Point? Okay, just 20. Yeah.
Just 20.
So that's the minimum age
right
to be a cop.
Right back from, And my dad said that Mayor Daley himself, God bless him.
Yeah. Wow.
Got me on.
Yeah.
So, and then it's funny because I ended up on his son's detail.
His son's detail, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So, well, my dad was on his detail. The Kings.
Oh, yeah, okay.
For, before he went to the state's attorney's police.
Well,
yeah.
You were clouded up.
We had,
good.
Oh, South Shore. Yeah, I mean, all you had to tell them was you were from South Shore.
Yeah.
And judges and lawyers. Yeah. By the way, I want to say, that was the greatest time and the greatest neighborhood to grow up in.
It was a good neighborhood, yeah.
My dad used to walk our dog in Jackson Park.
Sure, I practiced football in Jackson Park.
At 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't have gone in there at 9 o'clock. Your dad was a cop.
Yeah, he was a cop.
He's got a gun on him.
But I still see
still
a lot of...
dicey.
Yeah, I still see a lot of the people. I lost
Frankie Moran was here two weeks ago.
Yeah, we were at Schaller's Pump about 3 months before they closed.
Oh, yeah. I know.
That was a great place.
Oh, what a great pub. Yeah.
Yeah,
for Sox fans especially.
Yeah.
Now, I want to just fast forward a bit because we can get back to this. But, all right, so we know that you loved the Duke and everything. Tell us about when he died.
Well, I was working 3 to 11 when I got home, and I didn't know. He died at 7 o'clock at night.
You were working as a cop 3 to 11, yeah.
And I got home.
Where were you working? Do you
remember? Then I was 79. I was in, let's see. I was still drinking then. So I think I was in 22, Morgan Park.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Sure. I used to go into Mount
Olivet Street.
Yeah. Mount Olivet.
Mount Olivet Cemetery. Yeah.
And my dad called me and he said, I'm glad that you're okay. Oh. I said, what do you mean? He said, oh, shit. Oop. He said, I didn't, I thought you knew.
Yeah.
And then I said, knew what? Yeah. I thought my mom had died or something. He said, no, the Duke passed away today.
Yeah.
I knew he was sick. And
sure, he had cancer.
Saw him at the Oscars and it was just a matter of time.
Yeah.
So I told my wife, I said, I'm going to California. I called my captain. He said, go. Don't worry about it. Go.
Because they knew.
They knew.
Yeah.
They knew. I used to take time off if the Red River was on or, you know, that was before, you know, DVRs and all that stuff. So
you had to be there.
I had to be there. Yeah. Time due for watch Red River, you know, and they let me go and I got to L.A. And
you knew nobody.
I was
out
in
there.
Duke's house before.
Oh, you were?
In Newport
Beach.
Oh,
that's right. When you were a Vietnam.
When I was getting out.
Yeah.
He called the base and had some Marines come over.
And invited them over.
Invited us in.
You told me there was a
Budweiser machine.
A machine that had Budweiser.
That Ed McMahon gave him.
Yeah.
The greatest guy. You know, you admire somebody and then you meet him.
Yeah.
And you think, oh, he was that jerk or.
Yeah.
This guy was.
Solid.
He was solid. Biggest hands I ever saw.
So you had met John Wayne before.
Yeah.
All right. So now you go to L.A. Davis.
So I go to L.A.
Yeah.
The funeral, they had a. The service itself was just for the family.
Yeah.
But Duke used to drink in a bar in Newport Beach.
Right.
And I got one of the guys to tell me where it was.
Where is it?
So
where's
I,
the after party?
So it was very private. It was like 11 in the morning.
Yeah.
So I knock on the door, and this guy comes out, and he says, it's just...
You were in your dress blues, you tell me. Yeah,
dress blues.
Yeah.
And my ribbons and Bronze Star. And
yeah, you got a Bronze Star?
Yeah, yeah.
Holy cow.
And...
He just
I said,
passes that over like
so I said, so I said, listen, I got it. Let me in, okay?
Let me in. I'm a fan.
Yeah. He said, well, you
and
can
I'm
come
a
in.
Yeah. Who answered the door? Do you remember?
The owner.
Oh, the owner.
Bar.
Yeah.
I said, I don't. He said, you can come in, but don't bother anybody.
Yeah.
Okay. Remember what you're here for.
Yes. respect. So
Jimmy Stewart was there.
Oh, yeah.
And I was in Vietnam when his son was killed over there.
Oh, really?
So when I finally got up enough courage to go up and talk to him.
Who, Jimmy Stewart?
Yeah. Yeah. I said.
How many beers had you had at that point?
About six. But six was nothing then.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That was an appetizer.
And I went up to him and I said, I'm really sorry. And I had my uniform on. So
yes, of course.
So he said, thanks a lot. He was great.
Was good Jimmy Stewart.
Yeah. Yeah, pick it up. Yeah. Liberty Valance.
Yeah. So.
Ben Johnson was there.
Ben Johnson.
Hugh O'Brien was there.
Hugh O'Brien.
And I'm.
James Arness, you were telling me.
James Arness.
James Arness.
They were like this.
Yeah.
They were like this.
Wow.
The Duke. One thing about the Duke was he. He was very loyal to, yeah. If you were his friend,
yeah.
You were his friend.
Yeah.
And his daughter came to the bar.
Yes.
And she remembered me.
Oh, from when
from
you
when
visit?
I was at the
no
house.
No kidding.
And
yeah.
She said, wow, this, you came all the way from Chicago to be here. And I yeah. said, yeah. Huh. Yeah.
Good for you.
But he's only going to die once. That's what my wife said. If you go, don't come back.
Are you kidding me?
I said, well. He's only going to die once.
Yeah.
Yeah. So luckily I was still drinking then. I don't know if I can handle it now, sober. Yeah, so 37 years in AA.
Oh, good for you.
Finally decided that it was time.
Yeah. All right, so now let's pick it up with as a mayoral bodyguard, as a Chicago police officer. You were on the street for many years.
Oh, many. 25.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, got shot in 76.
Did you really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where was that?
Well, I was in Inglewood at the time.
Oh, of course.
55th and Halstead. That's where my dad grew up, by the way. The Burn.
Visitation?
The Burn building.
Okay.
Yeah. And they were robbing the liquor store. And we had one-man cars then.
Oh, wow.
And no vests.
Yeah.
So you never pull up right in front. I just pulled down the street.
Yeah.
I killed the one guy.
You did?
Running out.
Oh, my God.
And I went over to see if he was dead. And the second guy
came at
and shot me.
Where'd he shoot you?
Right here.
Oh, my God. Oh, look, he's showing us the scar, folks. Holy cow. Yeah.
And I remember from being in Vietnam that
right in the gut,
they always said if you're ever shot in the gut, it's Blake and Lamb time.
Yeah.
Because I had the greatest doctor.
Blake and Lamb being
the funeral home.
Funeral home on the south side of Chicago. Okay.
I had the greatest doctor. They took me to Holy Cross.
Holy Cross Hospital.
I said, well, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Dr. McCarthy... Born in Ireland, County Wicklow, by the way.
Oh, no kidding.
Came into my room, saved my life.
Wow.
Came into my room smoking a cigar. This was the old days, you know, you could, He said, you're going to be fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
I said, boy, the pain.
Yeah.
It was very painful. Luckily, the guy didn't shoot me again.
Yeah.
Because.
Well, would you have backup or anything?
Well, they finally pulled up and killed that guy.
Oh, good.
But those were the days when you could kill the bad guys.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. You're good. Yeah.
You know, now they'd probably just say,
You got the first guy coming out.
I got the first guy. Shot him right in the head.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's a good shot. You know? My dad gave me his .357 Magnum.
Oh, for being on the police
and force, I still got it.
Yeah.
And that's what I shot him in the head.
God, that's a great story.
Yeah.
So you got shot. You did all kinds of things. Before you became a mayoral bodyguard.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Well, Captain O'Brien.
Another Irishman.
The Irish Mafia.
Yeah.
One of the guys on the detail was going to retire. And I had...
Those are coveted spots.
I can't believe I got it.
Yeah. Do you know Billy McNamara?
Billy McNamara, very well.
Okay, I had lunch with Billy.
Yeah.
He was Blandick's bodyguard.
Yeah.
Good guy.
Yeah. So, Captain called me in, and he liked me.
Yeah.
And he said, Duke, how would you like to get off the street?
Yeah.
And he said, well, I had 24 years. I said, yeah, I think it's time.
Yeah.
He said, you're going on the mayor's detail.
Ooh.
He said, now, you know, because I think because I was sober.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he said, okay, just do what they tell you. Make me proud of you.
Yeah.
I said, okay. So I was there 15 years. I saw a lot of guys come and go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I hate to say this about her because she's gone to her final rest.
Yeah.
She was tough.
I'll bet she was.
She was
I've
tough.
Heard that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of guys were gone because they Yeah, didn't get along with her. Yeah. But he was great to me. He called me Duke.
Yeah.
I got it. When I used to walk him out to the car.
Yeah.
And I parked my Jeep on the street, and there, yeah, I had Cincinnati Red
sticker. Were they living on the Low Avenue or?
Well, no, in Indiana.
Oh, on Indiana Street.
15th and Indiana.
Yeah, South Loop. Yeah.
So, I had a Purdue sticker, a Cincinnati Red sticker, and a Titan sticker, and I forget who else. And he says, "Duke, do you even live in the city? Because you don't have a Cubs sticker, you don't have a Sox sticker."
Well, you're not gonna have a Cubs sticker. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny because we're Southside Irish.
Yeah.
South Shore. My dad was a Sox fan until 1927.
Yeah.
And he was born in 19, so yeah. It was the year of the Black Sox.
Yeah.
But I don't know how he remembered him, but Bib Falk was his favorite player on the Sox. Well, when they got rid of Shoeless Joe, Bib Falk.
Say it ain't so, Joe.
No, it ain't so.
Yeah.
It was, though.
Yeah, it was. It was so.
Yeah. So, but they traded Bib Falk in 27.
And that's when he decided.
He said, "I'm going to be a fan of the worst team in baseball." And I guess the Reds were the worst.
Oh, the Reds. Yeah. The Cincinnati Reds.
But he was a Sox fan, grew up South.
And you still go to Reds games.
Oh, I go on Saturday.
Oh, my God.
To get my Johnny Bench bobblehead. Greatest catcher of all time.
You drive there?
Oh, yeah. It's 5 hours.
Oh, that's all.
Yeah. He's gone. He's gone.
His son's there.
Six. 6 hours. 6 hours. Yeah. Should I tell him the story about the hotel? He went with me a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And he was a little
referring to his son,
a little inebriated.
Okay.
Let's say.
Yeah.
And he called me at 3 a.m. and he said, "My key doesn't work." He was in the wrong hotel. But he did go to Skyline Chili and bring some home.
Skyline Chili.
So he's a Reds fan.
Oh, okay.
He pretends to be a. He's a friend. He pretends to be a Sox fan, but he's a Reds fan.
And when did you retire?
Let's see. 2010.
Oh, okay. So,
nine years.
Are you keeping busy? What are you up to?
I play volleyball and softball.
No kidding.
I do the reenactments.
Oh, yeah.
Civil War reenactments.
Are you still living over in Cleary?
No, we're in Harwood Heights now.
Oh, okay. So you My went north. And, you went north. Yeah.
We went north. North to Alaska.
Yeah.
Yeah. We went north.
And so where do you do the reenactments? Well, Civil War reenactments?
Civil War.
Okay.
Mostly in the South. Tennessee, Mississippi.
Watch out. They'll be banning those pretty soon.
Well, you know, it's I got to tell you the story real quick. So, but I was doing one reenactment at Tennessee.
Franklin.
That was a bad one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a bad one. So some of these guys get really excited. They put rocks in their muskets. I'm loading it.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So, that's how you load it. So, so I get hit in the head with a rock.
Oh, they're throwing rocks at you.
No, it was in his musket. You know, some of the guys get carried away.
Yeah.
So I look, and they tell you, you know, you fall, and because they videotape it.
Oh, yeah. So you have your...
So I went down, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm bleeding all over the place. And the guy comes up to me, and he says, "Duke, you weren't supposed to fall. It wasn't your... It's a TV to the hospital."
Yeah, you idiot. Yeah.
7 stitches.
Oh, wow.
You know, get that Yankee. But the Yankee that
did it. I'll get the Yankee.
Yeah.
You got to come back.
But
we got to close it. But you got to come back.
We didn't even get to Duke's house.
We're at a half hour already.
Oh, my God, really?
Duke's house. Tell me quickly about Duke's house.
Well, they called the base.
Now, this is when you were a Vietnam.
I was getting out of the Marine Corps.
Yeah.
They called the base at El Toro.
Yeah.
They got
El Toro?
California.
Okay.
Yeah. Not too far from Newport Beach.
And that's where he lived.
And that's where he lived.
Yeah.
So... The guy, we were in the EM club getting
drunk. Who was he married to?
Pilar Paulette.
Oh, of course. That's
not a very nice person.
Oh, really?
No. Well, there was 20 of us.
Yeah.
She and Duke
so
was
20 Marines.
20
were
drunk Marines now.
Okay.
Yeah.
20 drunk Marines.
Her and the Duke were out on the lawn.
Yeah.
And he said, "Come on in, guys. The beer's in here."
Yeah.
I said, "My life's complete."
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Wait till everybody hears about
How
this.
How did you get over there? Was there a bus?
Marine Corps got us a bus.
So Duke is standing there.
Yeah.
On the line,
do that every once in a while.
Okay.
He would call the base and say, "Send some guys over."
Yeah.
And we were there for like 3 or 4 hours. I was so drunk. He was
hammered.
Oh, my God. Well, we were half drunk when we got there.
Yeah.
And he said, I thought you Marines could drink. And I got to tell you, I had a sergeant major that was in Korea and Vietnam.
Yeah.
Medal of Honor winner. And he was crying.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
When he met the Duke.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, every billet I ever went into in the Marine Corps, sands of Iwo Jima.
Oh, yeah.
The picture of Sands of Iwo Jima.
Yeah, yeah.
Striker.
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 Right.
How many Japs know your name, Striker? That's best. You know, shut up.
Hey, how about the thing with the bayonet?
Yeah.
And the whole dance and everything? Yeah. That was great stuff.
Play that thing again.
Okay.
You lead. Da-dun-da-dun-da-dun. Yeah.
Great movie.
Great movie.
All right,
how
so
many guys went in the Marine Corps because of that movie?
I don't know. I remember when I was a kid. I thought it was terrific.
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we got to wrap this up.
Okay.
You got to come back.
Okay.
You've been very entertaining. Folks, we've been talking to veteran and retired Chicago police officer Alamo Duke James Lynch. Terrific. It was terrific having you with us. And we'll be right back on Hibernian Radio after these messages from our friends.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started over 90 years ago by their grandfather. With more than 20 family members still involved with day-to-day operations, the Floods are service-oriented and believe that the right way is the only way to do something. Flood Brothers are price competitive and still offer the personal touch in an industry-trending corporate. For client-centric service without all of that corporate garbage, call Flood Brothers today for a quote on your solid waste recycling and yard waste collection services. Call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or go online at floodbrothersdisposal.com. Welcome back to the Flood Brothers.
Hey, everybody. This is Charlotte Houlihan. Don't touch that dial. My grandpa will be right back some more Hibernian Radio. He said something about seeing a man about a horse. Sounds like I'm actually going to get that pony after all.
Irish American News has been bringing you the news important to the Irish in Chicagoland for over 40 years. If you like mostly good news and information from all aspects of the Irish community, check out Irish American News. To advertise or subscribe, call our friend Cliff Carlson at 847-872-0700 or email him at cliff@irishamericannews.com. Irish American News, we've always been green.
On the death walk of saloons that decorate Western Avenue, only the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, the soul of Beverly, sits right on a 50-yard line of Chicago's Southside Irish St. Patrick's Day Parade at 106th and Western. Generations of Southside Irish have quenched their thirst in the Cork, snuggling up to memories of family, faith, and fierce loyalty to friends. It's the jewel of this neighborhood where we celebrated weddings, christenings, wakes, and unforgettable victories. Proprietors Bill Guidy and Mike Fitzpatrick, now celebrating 20 years in business, welcome you home for a cold brew, to share a good story, or help you throw one hell of a party. With over 20 beers on tap and a full bar for your pleasure, this is the spot you can sink a root and get your Irish on. Cork has plenty of seating, from our private event rooms to our 300-person beer garden. Our interior space brings you back to the homeland of Ireland with our vintage photos and authentic Irish decor and Chicago memories of the good old days. So say hello to a stranger, make a new friend, fall in love, or just enjoy the company of people you forgot you knew. The Cork and Kerry continues the Southside tradition parents and grandparents brought here from the old country. Come on by the Cork and Kerry and get some. The Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, 10614 Southwestern Avenue, for private parties, just pals hanging out, or intimate cocktail rendezvous. Come on home to the south side of Chicago at the Cork and Kerry.
And we are back, and hey, that Alamo is something else. So say a prayer for him that he gets good results from his doctor. He's going through some tough times right now, and we're all in his corner. I want to remind everybody that the Gaelic Park Players present its upcoming fall production of Outside Mullingar by my old pal John Patrick Shanley. Outside Mullingar on stage, Gaelic Park, October 12th through the 16th. October 12th to the 16th. Delightful romantic comedy that takes you not only inside two Irish farmhouses, but deep inside the minds and hearts of four farmers. There are strong feelings not only for those who have died and are dying, yes, it's a comedy, but for those fighting to live.
side by side for as long as it takes. Tony Riley is fighting to keep his 120-year-old farm as it originally was, and in the name of Riley. Aoife Muldoon is grieving the death of her husband and wanting to be with, to be sure her daughter Rosemary's life after she passes is as good as it can be. Anthony, Tony's son, carries not only the burden of maintaining the farm, but of his own secrets. He doesn't want anyone, especially Rosemary, to know. And Rosemary is determined to win Anthony over, whatever it takes, and will wait as long as she must. Ah, love, how strangely it works, and how wonderful it is to see the sun. The play runs Wednesday, October 12th through Saturday, October 15th at 8 p.m., Sunday, October 16th at 3 p.m. Tickets are $15. For reservations, call 708-687-9323. Gaelic Park. The Gaelic Park players are fantastic. I've seen some of their shows. They're dynamite. I don't know if Barney Farrelly is in this show, but he is one of the stars of that group, the Gaelic Park players. Gaelic Park is located 6119 West 147th Street in Oak Forest. Or go to www.gaelicparkplayers.org. And that's just a side note. My old pal John Chanley wrote this play. He's done several movies, including Moonstruck. I think they made a movie of this one called... the name escapes me at this moment. But anyway, check that out and get yourselves out to Gaelic Park next weekend for that terrific play and performance by the Gaelic Park players. Now, you know, Billy, whenever I walk down Western Avenue, I look in the window, Ken's, Wrong's, Hearts, any of those great Irish saloons, I see the ghost of my old pal Jimmy Goff through the mist, and he says to me, "Hey, Hooley, who died?" Now, this one hits very close to home. Mary Alice Houlihan Nee Loftus, my brother Danny's widow. She is survived by her 6 children, 15 grandchildren, many nieces and nephews. She was born December 25th, 1940, to Ed and Alice Loftus. She arrived 2 hours after her brother Joe. Did you catch that? Twins, Mary and Joseph, born on Christmas Day. A former fifth grade teacher, she was the beloved wife of 50 years to the late Daniel Houlihan, my brother. Adored mother of Margaret, who's married to Jim Smith. Kathleen, who's married to David Motzenbecker. Marty Houlihan and his wife Joanne. Bridget and Mike Kennedy, Molly and Peter McDermott, and Nora and Mike Jackson. Very proud grandmother. Well, I'm not going to list all the grandkids, but there's a ton of them. And also, she was the loving sister of Joe. Joe's still alive, guys. Love him. And Jimmy. So is Jimmy. Jimmy Loftus. And preceded in death by Peg Klug, Chuck and Sue Loftus, Kathy and Donald Fennold. Constant supporter of Misericordia Heart of Mercy. She cherished her family, lifelong friendships, and had a terrific sense of humor. She was the best mom. So God rest her soul, Mary Alice Houlihan, my sister-in-law. And Danny Madden sent me an obit for his old college roommate, Joe Mankiewicz, Joseph Patrick Mankiewicz, age 44. He was killed in a car accident just last weekend. God rest his soul. He was the beloved son of the late Udo and Kathleen, loving father of Udo, Aaron, and Max, and cherished uncle of Charlie, Layla, and Henry McLaughlin, longtime boyfriend of Stephanie Baez. This guy was young. He was only, what was he? In his mid, 44 years old. So that's a tragedy, and he had a family and everything. So say a prayer for that family. Joe was a diehard White Sox fan. He worked in the bar industry for the last 20 years. He's currently a manager at Joe's on Weed Street. He was part owner in Itchor brand CBD products. Playing in the background, you could often find him singing along to anything that was playing in the background or trying to show you a new song. Joe was known to treat his friends like family and would do anything for the people in his life. He was one of the most selfless people you could ever meet. He was also a very proud Nazareth Academy alum. I know he was a good friend of Danny Madden's. And Danny was touched by his demise and told me life is precious. So God rest his lovely soul, Joseph Patrick Mankiewicz. Also, Michael Hennigan, Mickey Hennigan, 80, a native of Tourmacady, County Mayo, Ireland, loving husband of Noreen for over 58 years, and the wonderful father of Breda, who is married to our old pal Jim McGing, Maureen Henley, Noreen Catino, Michael, Patrick, and Sean. Mickey was a friend to all who knew him. God rest his lovely soul. Mickey Hennigan, 80, from Tourmacady. And Tim Sullivan, only 61, cherished son of the late Eugene and Joan Sullivan, loving brother of Gene, Jerry, and Dan Sullivan. God rest his soul. And the arrangements were handled by Sheehy's, where all the right people go. And then Mary Nally, God rest her soul. Mary Nally was 84, a native of Gorsebridge, County Kilkenny, Ireland. She was a beloved wife of 60 years to the late Walter Nally, and the beloved mother of Walter Nally, Winnie, and Daniel. Cherished grandmother of Joey, Megan, Danny, Sarah, and Aiden, and proud great-grandmother of Harrison. She was a proud member of Gaelic Park, and also she was waked, and the services were handled by Sheehy's, where all the right people go. And Bridget McGing, 93, another native of Tourmacady, County Mayo, Ireland, beloved wife of the late Austin, loving mother of the late Mary Teresa, Kathleen, and Austin Jr. God rest her lovely soul, Bridget McGing. And Sister Mary Margaret Narlock, one of the Felician sisters, died last week. Beloved member of the Felician Sisters community for 79 years. Teacher and principal of the former at the former Good Counsel High School and principal of the former St. Joseph's High School on Hermitage Avenue in Chicago. She was the beloved daughter of the late Leon and the late Matilda, beloved sister of the late Violet, the late Lawrence, the late Cornelia, the late Mary, and the late Leroy. God rest her soul. She had many nieces and nephews. Sister Mary Margaret Narlock, the Felician Sisters, in lieu of flowers, donation to the Felician Sisters Retirement Fund. Say a prayer for us, sister. And Eileen Reardon. Eileen Patricia Pat Reardon, beloved wife for 56 years of the late Cornelius Reardon, loving mother of Eileen and Beth, fond aunt of many nieces and nephews. God rest her lovely soul, Pat Reardon. Now, I'd like to point out, people may laugh about these obits. I got a call the other day from Matt Boyle. He heard our obit about our old pal Jimmy Nolan. And he called to tell me, and I said, well, why don't we record these on the air? And he goes, these stories aren't really for the air. He told me about four or five very funny stories about our old pal Jimmy Nolan, who was a political character in Chicago, worked for the city for 39 years or 38 years. What a guy. And he used to hang out in this pub where Matt Boyle delivered the beer. And he had many funny stories about Jimmy Nolan. So you never know, you know. When people pass, it's important to salute them. And that's what we're doing here on Hibernian Radio. So now we're going to take a little break here on the show. Hope you're having fun with this Best Of show. I'll be right back with after these messages from our friend.
Doing just once would be enough for those who've lost in life for love, for those who've lost their guile and nerve, their innocence and their jive and verve, for those who feel they've been mistreated, discriminated, robbed or cheated, to claim one.
Yeah. Going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. The Hibernian Radio Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150. When your family has suffered a loss, there's one family I know who will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes are third-generation, family-owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. The Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted in Chicago. At the time, this was one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind and was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. This trademark of service is evident 98 years later, as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. At Sheehy's, the name on their sign outside the funeral home means something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. When my brother Willie died a few years ago, the Sheehys took very good care of our family. And you know, you never forget something like that. Their entire staff cares about each and every family they serve. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike LaRocque, and John Sullivan, and the rest of the staff take great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. Bob Sheehy will tell you, we pride ourselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family we serve. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
Irish American News has been bringing you the news important to the Irish in Chicagoland for over 40 years. If you like mostly good news and information from all aspects of the Irish community, check out Irish American News. To advertise or subscribe, call our friend Cliff Carlson at 847-872-0700 or email him at cliff@irishamericannews.com. Irish American News, we've always been green.
Hey folks, Charlotte Houlihan here. Did you know that Hibernian Radio is now streaming worldwide on Global Irish Radio? Every Saturday night at 7 p.m. or 1 a.m. in Ireland. Yes, the Irish are always way ahead of us. Check it out at globalirishradio.com or capital GIR.IE.
Southsiders have always known where to get the best pizza on earth, Fox's Pizza. For over a half century, the Fox family has been creating that delicious thin crust za that your mouth will tell you, this can only be Fox's. It's a Chicago Beverly institution at 99th and Western, as well as in Orland Park, where they combine delicious food with an Irish pub ambiance. You got the best of both worlds. still owned by Tom and Frank Fox, whose mom and dad, Frank and Teresa, bought the Western location from Al Capone's sister back in 1964. They opened the doors in Orland at 73 at 143rd and Ravinia Avenue. You'll recognize the stone turrets of their Irish castle, whose great times have been celebrated for generations of Chicagoland Irish. Fox's is perfect for the whole family, pickup or delivery, or you can dine in, relax, and have a cocktail with your dinner, whether it's steak, ribs, chicken, or especially pizza. It's all good. Having a party? Fox's also does catering. Call Fox's in Beverly at 773-239-3212 or in Orland Park at 708-349-2111. They're proud sponsors of Hibernian Radio and all Irish first responders. Mention this show for a free toothpick. Gotta love that Fox's pizza.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started over 90 years ago by their grandfather. With more than 20 family members still involved with day-to-day operations, the Floods are service-oriented and believe that the right way is the only way to do something. Flood Brothers are price competitive and still offer the personal touch in an industry-trending corporate. For client-centric service without all of that corporate garbage, call Flood Brothers today for a quote on your solid waste, recycling, and yard waste collection services. Call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or go online at floodbrothersdisposal.com. Welcome back to the Flood Brothers. Cops and firefighters risk their lives almost every day, so they shouldn't have to risk their hard-earned dough in any get-rich schemes or the blather of old pals in the real estate biz. And good luck trying to figure out the stock market or cryptocurrency or even economics 101 when you come home exhausted at the end of your shift. What you need is somebody you can trust, and they're in short supply these days. Hey, take it from me. I've lost fortunes in showbiz because I thought I was smarter than everybody else, and I wound up bankrupt and broke. It took me a long time to decide to find a friend I could trust who had my family's best interests at heart. That friend was my late pal, Joe Madden. I met him as he passed the basket at St. Luke's, and I'd turn my pockets inside out as he came to my pew, and I'd say, "I'm tapioca." He laughed, but didn't stop him from supporting my films and showbiz endeavors over the years. Joe Madden had my back. A few years before he died, Joe started Madden Funds with his sons, Mike and Danny. The Maddens and Houlihans have been pals for a long, long time. They can advise the best path for your investments. Madden Funds will have your back, too. Need advice on your 401k or your rollover IRA? You can trust Madden Funds to help you protect and grow your investments now and in your family's future. Go to their website, maddenfunds.com, or call Mike or Dan Madden at 708-848-3200 and tell them Hooli sent you. And we are back on Hibernian Radio. And don't forget, this show is dedicated to the one and only James Duke Alamo Lynch. And it's time for Hooli Town, my favorite place.
Deep in the south side of Chicago.
Get me out of here.
So deep. All the way up to 93rd Street.
Get me out of here, please.
Across the tracks where they only spoke Yakky Dak.
Oh.
And the people barely survived on a strict diet of crunchy bouncer and bamboo.
Hey, man, you want another drink?
Yes.
Huh? Can I get you two?
This is almost 70 years we're talking.
70
when
years?
The what? On his teeth.
Oh.
Something entered his cranium.
His cranium?
And wormed around his frontal lobes and took him to a state of mind.
Mind.
Hidden place on the other side of bunkers.
Welcome.
Crazy, silly, screwy.
Have a seat.
Known as Hooli Town.
Hooli Town.
Welcome to Hooli Town. Don't stay too long, though.
How come?
Because you might not come back. Welcome to Hooli Town.
Why, thank you.
And you're welcome.
Had a couple of jokes here for you. Let's start them right off. A man and his wife were awakened at 3 a.m. by a loud pounding on the door. Man gets up, goes to the door where a drunken stranger standing in the pouring rain is asking for a push. "Not a chance," says the husband. "It's 3 a.m. He slams the door and returns to bed. "Who is that?" asked his wife. "Just some drunk guy asking for a push," he answers. "Did you help him?"
No, I didn't ask. It's 3 a.m. It's bloody pouring rain on buckets out there. Well, you have a short memory, says his wife. Can't you remember about 3 months ago when we broke down and those two guys helped us? I think you should help him and you should be ashamed of yourself. God loves drunk people too, you know. The man does as he's told, gets dressed, goes out into the pounding rain. He calls out in the dark. Hello, are you still there? Yes, comes back the answer. Do you still need a push, calls out the husband. Yes, please, comes the reply from the dark. Where are you, asks the husband. I'm over here, on the swing, replied the drunk. Okay. Ba-dum-bum. All right, here's another one. A priest offered a nun a lift. She got in and crossed her legs, forcing her gown to reveal a leg. The priest nearly had an accident. After controlling the car, he stealthily slid his hand up her leg. The nun said, Father, remember Psalm 129. The priest removed his hand. But changing gears, he let his hand slide up her leg again. The nun once again said, Father, remember Psalm 129. The priest apologized. Sorry, sister, but the flesh is weak. Arriving at the convent, the nun sighed heavily and went on her way. On his arrival at the church, the priest rushed to look up Psalm 129. It said, Go forth and seek further up. You will find glory. Moral of the story, if you're not well informed in your job, you might miss a great opportunity. Ta-da-da! Okay. Final joke on Hooletown this week. An Irish daughter had not been home for over 5 years. Upon her return, her father cursed her heavily. Where have you been all this time, child? Why do you not write to us, not even a line? Why didn't you call? Can you not understand what you put your old mother through? The girl, crying, replied, Dad, I became a prostitute. You what? Get out of here, you shameless harlot. Sinner, you're a disgrace to this Catholic family. Okay, Dad, as you wish. I only came back to give Mum this luxurious fur coat. Title deed to a 10-bedroom mansion, plus a 5 million savings certificate for my little brother, this gold Rolex, and for you, Daddy, this sparkling new Mercedes limited edition convertible that's parked outside, plus a membership to the country club, and an invitation for you all to spend New Year's Eve on board my new yacht in the Riviera. What was it you said you'd become, says Dad? The girl's crying again. A prostitute, Daddy. Oh, my goodness. You scared me half to death, girl. I thought you said a Protestant. Come here and give your old dad a hug. Okay. Hey, we'll see you all next week. Thanks so much for listening once again, and we will see you later. Bye.
Up my shoes and I started walking.